You can hear me. I can yell it out. All right, so glad to be here again. Glad to be here with you. Good to see you. Good to see all of you. Good to see all of you. So, what are we going to talk about today? I'm going to talk about what you need to hate and what you need to kill, which is kind of interesting, right? Because we're Christians. And we're supposed to love. We're supposed to be loving and kind. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about what you need to hate and what it means to hate, because Christians not only need to love, but Christians need to hate as well. And I see some young folks in the room, some pretty young people in here. And I want you to listen really closely, because I don't want you to get confused, because you could get confused when we start talking about how we need to hate. There's certain things we need to hate, and there are certain things we need to, there's a certain way in which we need to hate. And it's supposed to be a mark of a Christian. It's the mark of God. Even though God is love, it also means that God hates. So I'll talk about some interesting things today about God, about how God hates, about how Christians also need to hate, and about how Christians also need to be mean. Catch that? How we need to be mean as well. There's a mean streak in Christianity. You ever see somebody like a kid? Who, I have two little boys, William and Jack. I talk about them all the time. You guys know, because I talk about them, they might come up here. But you know, you have this little kid, they're playing on the playgrounds, and this one little kid runs up and hits the other kid. And you're like, that little boy's got a mean streak. He's mean. He's a mean little boy. He's always pulling somebody's hair or throwing dirt at somebody and stuff like that. You're like, that's a mean little boy. Well, in Christianity, even though we talk a lot about how we're to be nice, how we're to be kind, there's also, in Christianity, a mean streak. There's a way in which we need to be mean. And we're going to talk about that. And be careful before you go and jump somewhere else in your mind. You need to listen so that we can talk about what it means to hate as a Christian and what it means to be mean as a Christian. So, we're going to start off in Romans chapter 12. And I got a whole bunch of scriptures marked here. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Says this. So I want you to notice that this is in the scripture, this meanness, this hatefulness that we're going to talk about today. It's in the scripture. We just may not have read it so much because sometimes we don't see things the way God sees them. We don't understand things the way God sees them. But it says this in verse 9. Oh, we're not there yet. There you go. There you go. It says, love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. Another version says, love must be without hypocrisy. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. See, our love may have a lot of insincerity. It may not be genuine. It may not be. It may be a love full of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means, for example, to say, "Let's see, what do I do? I do not like. I like most foods. I was going to go with the food that I don't like, but I like most foods. Let's say I didn't like Brussels sprouts. Who likes Brussels sprouts? Anybody? A couple people like Brussels sprouts. The majority of people don't. Okay, for the people who don't like Brussels sprouts, all right. If you were to walk around and say, I really love Brussels sprouts. Well, that would be hypocrisy. See, because you're saying that you love something, but you really don't. And that's what it means to be a hypocrite, is to say, hey, man, I really love this thing, and does not love it at all. Okay? And our love, in order for it to be sincere, he says, your love must be sincere. And in order for your love to be sincere, to be genuine, to be real, something that is truth, is real, then it has to have hate in it. It has to involve hate. You have to hate what is evil. You don't just love what is good, but you have to hate what is evil. And I want to tell you, I think this is our big problem. It's one of our huge problems right here. I'm talking into this like I need it, but I don't need this, do I? You still hear me? I got this.
Yeah.
Great. I'm moving away from that thing. In order for us to love rightly, we have to hate rightly. If you don't have room in your love for some hatred, then you don't love like God loves. And this is a problem that I think we have. And it's this, and this is the main point, what I want to get across to you. We like to do good things, okay? You like to come in here, you like to sit, and you like to sing worship songs, you like to come to Bible study, you like to go on the youth trips, we like to go on mission trips. But at the same time that you like to do all those good things, we like the fellowship, and we like all those good things, and those are very good things. We are too comfortable with bad things. We may like good things, but we don't hate bad things enough. We are very tolerant towards things that we should not be tolerant towards. We are willingly accept and sit and partake in things that we should not like. We should hate them. And it's great for you to say, hey man, I love to worship and I love to sing and I love to do those things. But for your love, your true love towards God and your true love towards your brothers and sisters in Christ, your true love towards the people around you, in order for you to really love sincerely, you can't just like the good things. You've got to hate the bad things too. So Christianity has this hate within it. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you. Starting in the Old Testament, we'll start. I'm going to go to Psalm. Oh, that got really loud. I'm going to Psalm 119, verses 102-104, and it says this: I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. I gain understanding from your word. He says, therefore, because I gain understanding, therefore, I hate every wrong path. He says, I hate every wrong path. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 says this, and listen, ready? To fear the Lord is to hate evil. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. It's not just to love the good, but it's also to hate evil. We gotta hate. We gotta be passionate about the things that we hate. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Are you tolerant and content with pride and arrogance in your life? Are you just okay with that? I like the good things, and I'm okay with the bad things. You can't be that way. You got to love the good and you got to hate evil. You got to hate pride. Not just be, that's bad. You got to hate. You got to hate pride. You got to hate arrogance. You got to hate evil behavior and perverse speech. That's one of the big things. How about perverse speech? Let's talk about that for a second. Perverse speech in the music we listen to. Perverse speech in the TV we watch. How many of you are just kind of okay with that? That's bad, but I just like it. It's okay. I'll just watch it anyway. You know? We do that a lot. I know you do it. I do it. I've done it. If you've never gotten up and walked out of a movie, you're not hating enough. Seriously. I'm going to get right in your face. You ready? I'm going to get right in your face. There are movies that you should have gotten up and walked out of, but you don't hate enough. You love church. You love coming here. But you don't hate strongly enough to get up and walk out of that show when there's so much perverse speech in there. I'm just going to be okay with it. You don't turn the station. You don't turn the radio off when there's a song that you know is not honoring to God. That's not it. That's not the way we are to be. That's not it. I should not listen to that. Because I want my love to be sincere. I want it to be real. Not just to be some lip service where I say I love God, but I don't really love God. I know it's not genuine. In order for your love to be sincere, you're going to have to hate more. We're going to have to quit being so indifferent to evil in the world and the things that are around us. I keep listening because I don't want you to get confused. I don't want you to get confused. You have your hand up, are you?
What is perverse speech?
Perverse speech. Thank you very much. Perverse speech is speech that is, there's lots of different perverse speech, but perverse speech may have to do with sexual jokes. That could be perverse speech. Lots of different things are perverse speech, though, but if somebody tells a joke and it has some bad in it, maybe sexual immorality in it.
What about cursing?
Cursing. Perverse speech. Cursing. Yeah. So when you say inappropriate words, perverse speech. Or when you, here's some perverse speech for you. When you talk bad about somebody else, whenever you say negative things about somebody else, when you say, you know, so-and-so's a real, you know, you say something bad about them. So-and-so's a real jerk. You know, and you're talking bad about people. That's perverse speech. Coarse jesting. Guys do a lot of coarse jesting. And what's that? That's just perverse speech. Like, you know, when you're hanging out with the guys and you're just using just bad jokes and funky humor and stuff. We're just okay with that. Guys do that a lot. I'm just okay with it. Just all right with that. I'll throw out some specific movies for you. Let me just get right up in your lap. Here you go, you ready? I'm going to crawl right up in your lap. You ever watch like a Ricky Bobby or something? What is that movie called? I don't even know what that name is. Talladega Nights. Have you ever seen that show? That show has a lot of perverse speech. I'm just going to tell you. I should get right up in your lap.
I actually got up and left in the movie.
There you go. There you go. You got to hate that kind of stuff. And there's a lot. There's a lot of perverse speech in that show. You know, where they talk about things they shouldn't talk about, where that Christians shouldn't be a part of. And we just, that's what I'm saying, we just tolerate that sort of stuff. We're just okay with it. And that makes your love for God, I hate to tell you, man, I'm preaching to the choir right here. I'm right here, me too. That makes my love for God insincere whenever I'm just okay with that kind of stuff. Whenever I just let it slide. Whenever I'm just like, alright, I'll just be a part of it anyway. And I think it's funny. And there's something in me that thinks it's funny. And that something in me is not love for God. So, it's kind of tough. It's kind of tough. It can really get into our lifestyle, this hate. Because we can be Christians, right? We can come to church. I can dress up and I can come here on Sunday morning. And I can still be kind of in the world too. I can still be okay with some of that other stuff. You know, some of that music we listen to about... Oh, I didn't want to talk about it. But some of the music we listen to about whatever stuff. You know what I'm talking about at this point. You know what I'm talking about. Isaiah, another next verse. Isaiah says this. That was, I just read Proverbs. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were cities that were really, really bad. Perverse. They loved immorality. They loved things that were against God. He says this, the multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me? I want you to not separate yourself here. I don't want you to say Sodom and Gomorrah are people that are bad. I'm people that are good. This is just people that are okay with immorality. If you're a person here and you're okay with immorality, this is for you. He says, the multitude of your sacrifices, what do I say to me? The multitude of your Christian services, the multitude of your Sunday morning services, what are they to me? I have more than enough burnt offerings. I have more than enough of your songs. I have no pleasure in the sacrifices that you give me when you come and you appear before me. Who asked you to do this stuff? Who asked you to trample my courts? Stop bringing me meaningless offerings. Your incense, your worship, it's detestable to me. All your festivals and feasts, I cannot bear your assemblies anymore. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. This is God speaking. It's passionate. God is passionate. He said, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I won't listen. Your hands are full of immorality. He said, wash and make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case for the widow. God is passionate about these things. And I got to tell you, if you're coming and you're here and you're worshiping and it's not sincere, which means... you're just okay with a lot of bad things in your life? No. I'm going to have them both, is what I'm saying. I'm going to have them both, is what I'm going to do. I'm going to worship and sing praises to God, and I'm going to have the things out of the world that I like too. But God doesn't want any of that. He doesn't want any part of that. He don't want any part of that. Do you hate enough? Do you hate some of the things that he says? Seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Do you hate it when you see suffering and pain in the world? Do you hate that kind of stuff? I bet you do. I bet you do. But you hate it when you see people who don't have a father, don't have a mother, and they're oppressed, they're poor, they have a really difficult time. But you hate that stuff, and that's good. That's good hate in you. See? Christians, we gotta hate stuff. We're Christians, we gotta hate stuff. You don't hear that right now? Maybe. We gotta hate stuff. Another verse. Jeremiah 44:2-6 says this. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You saw the great disaster I brought on Jerusalem and all the towns of Judea. Today they lie deserted and in ruins because of the evil they have done. They provoked me to anger by burning incense and by worshiping other gods that neither they, nor you, nor your fathers ever knew. So they worshiped idols. They worshiped false gods. Again and again I sent my servants, prophets, who said, do not do this detestable thing that I hate. Do not do this detestable thing that I hate. Don't worship other gods. And you're saying to yourself, hey, you know what? I don't set up like a wooden idol in the corner of my room and worship it. There are a lot of things that could be idols to you. You know? You could set yourself up as an idol. You could worship the praise of men. You could love the praise of men. You could worship money. I want money. That's what I want. And when you worship things or when you love things more than you love God, that's detestable to God. He says, I hate that. God hates. See? God hates. And we should hate. We should be careful about our hate. God says in Zechariah and Malachi, Malachi, I hate divorce, God says. God hates divorce. I mean, you get older, a lot of people get divorced. It's a world, a simple world we live in. But God doesn't like that. You made a covenant before God, and now you're breaking that covenant. You got out of it. God doesn't like that. We can be okay with that. We can be okay with that. And, you know, a lot of people get a divorce, and sometimes that happens. And it's not like we want to shun them or hate them. But you can still hate the divorce. You can still hate the pain that it causes. The pain that goes on, the suffering of the children that are in that where that divorce is taking place. You can still hate divorce. You can still hate the breaking of the covenant. You can hate that. Man, I hate divorce. I know it happens, and I don't hate people. You see, here's where we don't want to get confused. You don't want to hate people. You want to hate the sin in the world, the sin in you that brings so much pain and hurt. You want to hate the fact that there's so much pain and hurt in the world through sin. Whenever you look at something, you don't look at something or listen to something on TV or look at something and see something and say, I hate that person or I hate that rule. You say, man, that hurts people. That thing right there is hurting people. It's drawing people away from God. It's making them lower, less of humanity. It's devaluing people. I hate that. I hate when I devalue somebody. Whenever I talk bad about people, behind their back, I gossip. Whenever I lie, I steal. That hurts people. I hate that. See, that's why I want to hate. Not because there's just some rule out there that you got to follow. It's because it hurts people. It hurts God. It hurts you. That's why we hate things. I jumped ahead of myself. In the New Testament, Jesus, remember he walked in the story where Jesus walks into the temple, and there's a lot of people in there making money, selling stuff, like candles and stuff, and they say, if you, you know, this is a special candle, and if you light this candle, then it's a special blessed money candle. If you light this candle, you pray for money, maybe get some money. And this candle is a healing candle. So if you buy this candle and you light it, then it's a healing candle. You could get healing from that, physical healing. So if you're sick, this is the candle you buy. And if you want some money, this is... And they're in there, and they're making money off of the things of God. You know, worship. I'm trying to make some money off that deal. And Jesus walks into the temple where it's supposed to be pure worship, sincere worship, and he loses it. Because he hates what he's seeing, because it hurts people. draws people working out. He goes in, he's kicking tables. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus, you know. I don't know if your Jesus kicks over tables and drives people out of church. But the Jesus of the Bible does that. When Jesus showed up, he's kicking tables. He said he pulled cords off the wall and was running people out of the building. It's like, you're not going to take... And it says, because passion for God's house consumed him. He's passionate for God's house. You're not going to come in here and do that. Because he hated well. He hated rightly. So, what kind of things... What kind of things do you hate? You hate unholiness in your life? You hate when you talk bad about others? You hate when you sit around and watch TV too much, too long? Play too many video games for too long? You could have been doing something better? Do you hate that in you? Do you like, man, I wish I would have done that. I do that all the time. I watch some show that I've watched 10 times already and just flush 2 hours down the toilet. Just flush it away. I already watched that show. Just waste all that time. I could have done something better than that. Yeah, I hate that. When you see things on TV or see things in life that are immorality, when you get on the computer, right? You get on the computer and you look at pornography. Do you hate that? Do you wish you didn't do that? Do you hate it? You gotta hate it. You know why? Because if you don't hate it, you'll never stop. If you don't hate it, you'll never change. You'll never go toward God if you don't hate the things you ought to hate. It's not enough just to say, I like God or I love God. That's not enough. It's two sides of the same coin. You got to hate. You got to hate those things that draw you away from God if you want to get rid of them in your life. Does it bother you that you're materialistic? That you love stuff? Does that bother you? That you're vain? Now, that we always look in the mirror all the time. Does that bother you? Do you wish you didn't do that? You wish you weren't just always concerned about your appearance and what people are going to think of you? Does it bother you when you're impatient with your spouse? If you're married. Some people are married. Does it bother you? Not that you don't do it, not that you probably won't do it again. But does it bother you at least? Or are you just going to be okay with that? Man, I wish I wouldn't have said that to her. Does it bother you when you're impatient with your children? Does it bother you, young people, when you are disrespectful to your parents? Are you just okay with being disrespectful to your parents? Because the Bible says something about that. The Bible says that we are to honor our father and mother. Does that bother you, or are you just, you don't even give it a second thought when you talk back to your mom and dad? Because you don't hate it. Kind of serious, family. We gotta hate, guys. And again, why? Why should we hate it? Because it hurts people. Because it hurts you. So really, what are we talking? We're really talking about love. I'll tell you something, I'm really not talking about hate. I'm talking about love. Because sin and unholiness hurts others. It hurts yourself. The Bible tells us in Isaiah that your sin separates you from God. It builds a wall between you and God. That's damaging. That's damaging. So what should we do? What should we do? Well, before that, I wanted to clear up a couple of things before we end on what we should do. I want to make sure that we say this. Is this a call to be perfect? Is this a call to be perfect? Well, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Yeah. But no. You know, we have this in us, this old nature, this sin nature. Sometimes we may be disrespectful to our parents. Sometimes we may not treat our children correctly or our spouse. Sometimes we may do things. What it's a call to, what this is a call to this morning, is to not be content and not be okay with that. You know? It's not to hate you. It's not to hate you. It's not to hate the people around you. But it's to hate the sin in you. It's to hate those ways of evil. It's to not be okay with that. You know? I gotta tell you, you might go again. You might go again and get on your computer and you may look at pornography on your computer again. You might do that again. Hope you don't. But if you do, hate it. At least hate it. And then maybe one day, through prayer and worship and through that hatred in you, through that love of God in you and that hate at the same time, maybe one day Christ will break you free of that. Don't be content with evil and untruth. Don't be okay with it. Again, is it a call to hate yourself or people in the world? No, it is a call to truly love yourself. This is a call to really love yourself and really love the people around you by hating things that hurt you and hurt others. This is a call to love. If you're sitting around and you're indifferent to sin in people's life, and you're just like, well, I'm just going to let it go and be okay, and you think that's loving, well, that's not. Then you don't know what love is. Yeah, you know, just to be tolerant of sin in people's life or things that draw people away from God, to be okay with that, that's not loving at all. Just to sit around and be okay with it and say, well, I'll just let him do his own thing. You know? What's loving is to hate those things that draw people away from God, to hurt people. People on drugs, you got to hate that. I hate that. People addicted to stuff, that's terrible. You can't just say, well, yeah, I hope it's okay. You gotta hate it with a passion. So how do we do it? Well, we must be mean. Here's the mean part. We gotta be mean. So we gotta hate and we gotta be mean. We gotta be mean. I wanna read in closing here. In Romans 8, it says this. Verse 1 through 15. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life has set me free. For the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature in me. What the law was weak to do, God did by sending His Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who live not according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, evil things. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile towards God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your bodies. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. Now here it is, right? Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But, here's the mean part, right? If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If by the Spirit of God you put to death the deeds of the body, then you will live. You hear that? You have to put to death. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body. There is something that you got to kill. That's what that first thing. Things we got to kill and things we got to hate. There's something you got to kill it. And it's the misdeeds of the body. It's that flesh. It's that sinful nature. And you have to kill it and destroy it. Whenever it creeps up on you, and there's arrogance that creeps up on you, and sexual immorality that creeps up on you, and a lie that creeps up on you, you've got to kill that thing. You can't just let it wander around in your life. You can't let it hang around. You've got to destroy it and kill it by the Spirit of God, by the power of God. And what does that mean? That may mean some intense things. And here's where the rubber meets the road. Christ said this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says this: if your right eye causes you to sin, you're looking at stuff, your right eye causes you to sin, He says, gouge it out. Okay. Disclaimer. Little asterisk. Do not gouge your eye. You hear that? Do not gouge your eye out or gouge anybody else's eye. He says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Don't cut it off. What's he saying? He's saying you have to be passionate about getting rid of sin in your life. You got to kill the old nature. Here I crawl up in your lap. Some of you guys probably need to get rid of half your CD collection. Some of you guys probably need to get rid of some of your DVDs and movies. Some of you guys need to get rid of, put your laptop and your computer right in the middle of the living room or something. You need to get your computer out from some dark corner in the back of your room. You can sit and look at bad things all day. You got to be intense. I'm telling you, if you're going to fight sin, you can't just kid around. You got to kill the old nature. You got to be passionate about it. If you're just going to be okay with it, you're just going to let it stick around. You're going to continue to put yourself in the situation. You may have to not hang around with some people. Yeah, say, you know what, I'm sorry. I have to break that relationship. Because I'm going one way and you're going another, and you are not, I'm telling you, and you're not going my way, we got to part ways. I love you and I wish you'd come this way, but since you're not, we got to part ways. I can't just stay over here with you. You got to make it happen. You got to be intense. If your right eye causes you to sin, something's causing sin in your life. There's an environment that you have in your life that it's a sinful environment that brings about evil in your life and lustful desires and things. You got to get rid of it. Some of you guys may be in a relationship with somebody and you may have sexual immorality in a relationship. You may have to get rid of that. You may have to say, you know what? We either get right or get gone. We can't be together. I'm just telling you, you just need to get serious about sin in your life if you want a sincere love for God. Because coming here on Sunday morning is not going to be the end all. It's not going to make it happen. This is not it. Just you showing up is not it. You got to be passionate. If you want to really have a sincere love for God, you got to kill the old nature by the Spirit of God, by the power of the Spirit of God. What does that mean? That means you read your Bible. There's some positive things, not just get rid of stuff. That means you're reading your Scripture. It means the Spirit of God, you're praying, the Spirit of God lives in you, you're repenting, and you're saying, hey, God, come into my life. You're reading the Word, you're trying to understand, and the Spirit's taking that Word, the sword of the Spirit. This is called the sword of the Spirit. Swords are used to kill stuff. The sword of the Spirit, the Spirit's using it to kill evil in your life. Kill it, because you hate it so much. So you got to hate, and you got to kill. You got to hate, and you got to kill. Galatians 2:20. Put up that. I have been crucified with Christ. That old man. There's this old person. This old man. The old ways. That old stuff in you. He's going to have to die on a cross. He's going to have to die. He's got to be crucified. He's got to go away. You've got to kill him. Been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live. But Christ lives in me. In the life I live, in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. You got to crucify that old nature. That's mean. Crucifixion's not nice. There's nothing pretty about that. That's mean. You got to get mean. In order to love properly, you're going to have to hate. Let's give some time. I'm going to give some time for us to think about that for a second. So we're going to say a word of prayer. Are we going to sing some more worship songs?
Yes, we're going to sing about one.
Sing more worship songs. So we can come up, we can start singing, maybe play some music. That would be great if you wanted to come up and play the guitar a little bit. I'm going to give you a little bit of time, give you a minute just to think. Is there something in your life that you need to get rid of? You want to come on up here? Is there something in your life that you need that you know? You're like, I really need to. I'm too comfortable with that. I'm too okay with that in my life. I'm too okay with that relationship. I'm too okay with this thing that I do. It's my little sin and I love it. I'm too okay with that. I'm too okay with being mean to my friends. I'm too okay with that sort of thing. If you you got something in your life, you want to get some time to sit and think about that for a second. And then I would invite you to come up and to pray. One of the things, you want me to tell you how to hate something, how to hate that sin in your life? Here it is. How to hate the pride and the arrogance. The Bible says that if we confess our sins to one another, and we pray for one another, that that can bring healing in your life. So if you want to show that you are passionate about hating the evil in your life, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come up here and pray. I'm going to give you a chance to come up here and pray. If you want to come up here and kneel and pray, I think that'd be fine with it. That'd be okay. If you want to come up here and kneel and pray during a song, if you want to come up and you want to pray with me, I'll be up here for a minute while we sing a song and pray with you. But if you know that there's something in your life, you know what? I need to hate that more, and I need to crucify that old nature. Or if you've never met Christ at all, and you know it, you're like, I don't have any of that in me. I don't hate any of that stuff. I'm totally comfortable with the world and everything in it. You know you don't have any Jesus in you at all. And you say, but I want to, and I want a relationship with Christ. And you want to come up here and pray? Why don't you come up here and pray? And I'm going to wait up here. And I'm going to hang out up here, and I'm going to be praying. If you want to come up and pray, I'll be here for a second. If you want to just come up and pray at the altar by yourself, I'll be fine too.